All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or whatever time it is where you're tuning in. I'm Brian McFarland, and I'm the Managing Director of North America for Turnkey Consulting. I have the pleasure of being joined today by two prominent experts in the area of cybersecurity today. JP Perez Echagochen, who's the Chief Technology Officer from Onapsis, as well as Tom Venables, who's the US practice lead and wears a ton of other hats from Turnkey Consulting. Tom, JP, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves? JP, why don't you go first?
Awesome. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for the introduction. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, as well to everyone, wherever you're tuning us from. From my side, JP here, CTO and co-founder of Onapsis. I've been doing cybersecurity focused on ERP applications for quite a long time already. And but my background is very technical, right? Like doing vulnerability research and coming from the pen testing side of the house and really enjoy that side. So happy to be here with Tom and Brian as well.
Thank you, JP. Tom, tell us about yourself.
Thanks, Brian. I'm Tom Venables. As Brian mentioned, sort of solutions director for Turnkey. And like JP, I've been securing SAP systems for far too long now, 20 years or so, on both the red and blue team side. So a little bit of shared experience with JP on trying to crack into these systems and then working out how we can help our customers defend against the attackers. Good to be here.
Well, I'm excited that you're both here today. So as you can clearly see and hear, both JP and Tom are technologists. I, on the other hand, am not at all. I've spent most of my career building and scaling and transforming technology implementation and professional services organizations, predominantly in the HR technology space. So until only recently, when I joined Turnkey in January, cybersecurity was kind of a foreign language to me. So I'd really like the aim of today's podcast to really have the objective to help senior leaders and executives who don't necessarily speak the language of cybersecurity understand why they should care and what they need to know. You guys think you can help me with that, JP and Tom?
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be a lot of acronyms, but pull us up if we start using this.
You sure you're up to the challenge? I'm likely to ask a whole bunch of stupid questions.
There's no stupid questions. There might be one or two stupid answers.
We'll do
All
our
right.
best, Brian.
Fantastic. Well, let's get started. Let's start with something easy. So why are we talking about cybersecurity risk to SAP systems? Isn't hacking more lucrative than non-SAP systems? JP, do you want to go ahead and start with that one?
Absolutely. And I love the question, Brian. Yeah, there are a bunch of reasons why we're talking about SAP cybersecurity today. And I'll start with a comparison, right? Today versus like 10 years ago. If you looked at the threat landscape on ERP applications, SAP in particular, 10 years ago, there were less knowledge about vulnerabilities and exploits. There were less publicly available exploits. But ultimately, there were less threat actors with the knowledge and the intent to target SAP applications. So what happens now is that once you deploy an SAP application and you expose to potentially untrusted networks, you start seeing a lot of threat activity specifically focused on SAP technology, looking for that technology. Threat actors know about SAP applications. They know about the vulnerabilities. They know how to use it. They use it manually and they automate it. So they go against these applications today more than in the past because of this prevalence of the knowledge. And they realize this is critical technology that holds critical data. And they even use it in ransomware. I'm not going to mention the company, but several months ago, one organization was hit by ransomware. And as part of the ransom message, a lot of SAP related information came across. The the threat actors started publishing information related to SAP because they knew that that was going to resonate on the company. They knew that, hey, like if they have this type of information, that's sensitive, that's critical, it was going to be more likely to be making the effect that the threat actor was looking for. So we have a lot of examples on that direction, but all in all, if you tell me why, it's because there are threats, there are vulnerabilities, and organizations need to be aware of that.
So you mentioned the word threat actor a number of times. Who are these threat actors, and how do they access my SAP system in the first place?
I love the follow-up questions, Brian. It's basically, there are different types of threat actors, right? You may have cyber criminals, you may have state sponsored, you may have like script kiddies, right? Like people having fun. So from unsophisticated all the way to the most sophisticated ones, there are different flavors. And all of them have the ability to use and target SAP applications. And we have seen examples of different type of threat actors targeting the different type of SAP implementations. Each one of those threat actors have a different intent, depending on their sophistication, what they are looking for. They may be politically driven, they may be financially driven. This is, and there's nothing special here on SAP, right? It's like, this is in general terms. Now, what happens is that SAP is becoming one more target for these threat actors.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, you know, SAP is controlling a lot of the financials. So if you're a cyber criminal and your motivation is financial, you can break into these systems and start to exfiltrate data that you could ransom, or you could try and commit internal fraud, you know, from an external source. Likewise, JP mentioned ransomware. That can shut down business operations for companies that are very heavily reliant on SAP. You know, it's plugged into all of these business processes. So if you're seeking competitive advantage, interrupting your competitor's business operations for a day, a week, a month, however long it takes them to recover from something that shuts them down, could be another motivation. We call them advanced persistence threats. So one of the acronyms that flows around is APTs. What we've seen is that they will penetrate systems and then look for soft spots and vulnerabilities within those systems. And that dwell time can be quite long, but they're looking for the data and the targets that align to their motivations.
So in other words, if I'm a CFO or a COO, cybersecurity is something that should be important to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and I think you said, why are we talking about cybersecurity for SAP? SAP is traditionally a business-owned application, and not every CISO or information security organization necessarily speaks SAP as well as they could. It can be a little bit of a black box for the defensive part of the organization. So it's, as JP mentioned, it's got more exposure to these attackers, but it also can be seen as a little bit of a soft target.
So I'm curious, are SAP systems more or less vulnerable than any other enterprise applications?
That's a tough question. No, but in reality, what happens with SAP applications is a number of factors are contributing to the overall security. First and foremost, these are very complex applications and complex technology. We are talking about a technology stack that is composed out of multiple components, all of them interconnected and talking to each other. We have multiple applications, all of them connected to and interconnected and talking to each other. And on top of that, you have the business logic. So multiple layers of complexity that each one of those layers require specific knowledge to be able to understand, hey, is this secure or not? So the complexity and the at the technology side and as well as at the business side introduces complexity at the time of making sure that that's secure. So it's not like these applications are less secure than others. It's like these applications are more complex than other applications. So in order to secure them, you need to know what areas to address, what areas to look for. So that's the big difference. If you have a simple web application sitting on a Tomcat application server, maybe securing that application is easier because you have fewer parts and fewer concepts to restrict. Whereas on a huge SAP landscape, making sure that landscape is secure, especially when it's being used by thousands or even hundreds of thousands of users concurrently across the globe, that's quite of a challenge.
I love how my questions are met with laughter, and I still haven't been able to work out whether or not you're laughing at the stupidity of my question or whether I'm actually throwing you some tough questions.
No, it's honestly more because you keep asking questions to which the answer can be, it depends, which is, as you know, a consultant's favorite answer. But I don't think SAP systems are any less secure inherently. I think, as JP highlighted, the interconnected nature, the way they're plugged into the business is one element of that. I think also the rapidly evolving nature of them and the rapidly evolving maturity of the threat actors means that we might be lagging slightly behind. There is also the flip side of that, which is that a lot of people think SAP security resides only within like the users, the roles and the authorizations and the application layer. So, you know, to your point, a CFO or a COO who needs to take cyber risk seriously now, might not be looking at the servers, the networks, all of the environments that are interacted with in quite the same way that a CISO would.
When you mentioned the way they're being plugged into the business, I keep hearing this term within the perimeter. Is that sort of the same thing, Tom?
I think there's two elements to that. We used to see it as within the network perimeter. That perimeter used to be a firewalled, you know, local network or wide area network, and you relied on that as your outer wall of your castle, if you like. These days, systems are connected to the internet more. The perimeter has eroded, especially now that we're all working from home or have changed working patterns post-COVID. And so things like identity become a new perimeter. The perimeter is a lot more porous than it used to be. It's not really a castle wall so much as a tennis racket. And there is the concomitant part of that, which is it's so heavily plugged into the business processes. So if you want to ship your product around the world or between manufacturing sites, your SAP system is doing that for you. If you then want to charge your customers for shipping that product to them, your SAP system is doing that for you. If you then want to pay the people who build that product, your SAP system is probably doing that for you. So it's so intrinsically linked to the operations of the business that that's why it is under attack, but it's also why it's difficult to secure.
Interesting. I live in Atlanta, and the perimeter is actually the name for Interstate 285, which is a highway that actually circles the city of Atlanta. And generally speaking, it's actually safer outside the perimeter than it is inside the perimeter. But thank you for clarifying that a little bit, Tom. JP, what's your take on that?
I agree with what Tom was mentioning, and I relate to his thoughts as well very much. It's, and I think I would like to go back a little bit to another point that Tom was mentioning is a couple of years ago, let's say 2010, 2015, when you were talking to an organization, like even a like large enterprise sector, like some of the largest, biggest brands in the world, hey, are you addressing SAP security? Everyone would say yes. Of course, we are. We have a team dedicated to that. What happened is that team was doing roles, profiles, segregation of duties, authorizations, user management. So all of those super important, super critical tasks that are definitely necessary. However, doing just that is not enough because all of this complexity that I was mentioning and we were referring to with Tom are still there. If organizations do not address security holistically, then a lot of holes could be exposed. And that's that has been changing, but it's still there is some misunderstanding or misconception about, hey, securing SAP means SAP security, which means roles, profiles, authorizations. Well, it's more than that, right? And also the other point that Tom brought is on the exposure, right? Yes, some years ago, it may have been true that these SAP applications are secured behind a firewall, right? Like, hey, I have my applications. I know exactly what I have. I know exactly where they are. I know exactly who's connecting to. Fast forward 2023, now we have cloud, public cloud, private cloud. We have interconnection between all different points. Think about BTP, subcloud connector, SaaS solutions, talking to on-prem, on-prem talking to on-prem, to the private cloud. The reality is what we see in organizations are where organizations are shifting to is really more on the side of a hybrid environment where you have a little bit of everything all talking to each other.
Yeah. It's what we would call, again, another cybersecurity term that's worth highlighting is the attack surface is growing. So we tend to talk about an attack vector, which is the threat actors that we're talking about. Where are these attacks coming from? And then we talk about the attack surface. How much of our estate can they target and potentially impact?
So I want to go back, JP, to something that you said. And firstly, thank you for those answers there. So JP, for organizations, and I say JP just because you asked you presented the information, but feel free either of you to answer this. But for those organizations who still see SAP security as roles, profiles, and authorizations, and they're behind the times, what do they do? What's the first steps that they should be taking to be able to get into today's day and age?
Oof. JP, do you want to take that first?
Yeah, absolutely. So I like the question because it's definitely a first step for every organization to address cybersecurity. And regardless of how mature you are with authorizations, roles, profiles, how you have been growing organically, inorganically, combining landscapes, it all starts by because most SAP customers that we are talking about are large organizations, right? So in most cases, they do already have a vulnerability management program. They do already have some form of incident response process. They do have threat monitoring or continuous monitoring. So what organizations need to do is start bringing the SAP technology and SAP concepts into their existing processes. So enabling those vulnerability management processes, those continuous monitoring processes, to be able to identify and see SAP. And it starts with the basics, right? Like the basic is basic hygiene. I mean, vulnerability management, right? Make sure that patches are implemented, that secure configurations are in place, and prioritized from critical to high, medium, low, and addressed depending on your resources availability. But in the end, it's not about building custom things, but really enabling your existing processes to understand, see, support SAP applications.
Yeah, I completely agree. It starts with an assessment. You have to know yourself first. So do you understand how well plugged in you are to your cyber defense pieces? I'd expand that a little bit. So I think there is a vulnerability assessment piece to that. There is obviously patch management, which is a big part of that. You can then test those vulnerabilities by conducting pen testing against your business critical applications and folding those in. There's also a very important human layer to this as well, which is we mentioned that the perimeter is eroded. So your people are now your perimeter, essentially. Training those users to operate securely, to understand the risks a little bit to the systems. And your SAP users may require a little bit more education than your standard user base, because they hold the keys to some pretty important kingdoms, right? So they've got financial processes in there. So you might want to consider training your SAP user base to a slightly higher baseline than, I don't know, people digging up roads for a living in a utilities company or whatever. Pull those things together, make sure you know how well protected you are, and make sure you test those protections regularly, because as we've mentioned several times, it's an evolving threat landscape.
Thanks, guys. So let's talk about patching for a minute, and sort of tying that to identifying potential threats to my SAP system. What are some of the best practices that I should be considering as it relates to patching?
JP, do you mind if I take that one first? Patching is twofold for SAP systems. There are hot fixes for security patches, and there are service pack upgrades. And these two need to be looked at slightly differently. Brian, you've worked on SAP implementations in the past. You know that the regression test cycle for an SAP application could be months long for a customer, right? That means staying on the latest patch level can be difficult with these large-scale business applications. But security patches tend to be a lot easier to implement. But the first thing to do is pay attention every month to what SAP are releasing in terms of the security notes. Apply the ones to your landscape that need to be applied. So for the modules or the applications that you've got installed. If you're using a managed service partner, make sure that they've got patching in their contract and that they're doing it. That's fundamental. If you're not sure where you sit, start to explore support from third parties who understand patching, understand the criticality of this. And you know, you can use applications to help you identify which are the relevant patches that need to be applied. So you can use tools like an AppSuite platform to say these are the patches that you need to apply to secure yourself against these vulnerabilities. There is also something called virtual patching, which is where you identify that you have a vulnerability. It requires a service pack upgrade that's going to take you 6 months to deploy. But you can put detection and response mechanisms in place that say, is somebody trying to use this SQL injection vulnerability? It doesn't really matter what that is, it's just an example. But is somebody trying to exploit that vulnerability in my estate? And if so, can I shut down their connection? Can I lock that user ID? Can I disable that inbound connection? Or even quarantine the server until we can address that vulnerability? And that is provided through usually bolt-on applications, but it can help.
So it sounds pretty straightforward. Basically what you're telling me is if I'm as up-to-date as possible on my patching, the more up-to-date I am, the safer I'm gonna be, right?
Yeah.
To me, that sounds very reactive though. Is there anything that organizations can do to be more proactive to identify vulnerabilities?
Absolutely, yeah. JP, you go.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. So before addressing that specific question, I wanted to give you an example, because you said, Brian, it sounds straightforward, but given the complexity and the criticality of these applications, things that could be simple in theory, in practice are not. Like something like a kernel patch, right? Kernel patch, technically speaking, you go and you change a folder, you change a file, I'm trying to make it simple, but you swap one file for another on a system, let's say a set of files, and you restart the server. But doing that takes months on real environments because they need to have the shutdown window, be able to test that. So, for example, in the vulnerability, a vulnerability that was discovered by Napsis and patched by SAP last year was called ICMAD, very critical because affected HTTP protocols in SAP. Some organizations took several months to apply those, to upgrade that kernel across their landscape. I'm talking about almost a year. So, if you combine that with the speed that threat actors have to really target these applications, that's an explosive combination. And now is where I forget the original question that you asked, Brian. but yeah, I just wanted to bring that point because I think it shows how things that that in other scenarios like patching Windows and patching other technologies are well oiled and simple in because of the criticality and nature of SAP, it's a little bit more challenging.
But sorry, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, so JP mentioned the speed to react there, which is an interesting piece. We've seen from research that's been conducted by Anapsys, you might have as little as 72 hours to respond to a vulnerability being published by SAP, i.e. a patch issued. Now, Anapsys find these things quite often. They've got a really dedicated research lab. In order to get ahead of that, you can leverage technology platforms to be patched in advance of SAP publishing them, assuming that that patch can be applied to the landscape. But you need the detection patterns for those vulnerabilities, and that's where that virtual patching comes in. Is even if you cannot move to the next kernel upgrade or the next service pack, you can still deploy like endpoint detection and response solutions is what we call them, but essentially a monitoring network and a response network that is deployed on your SAP piece that says, we can see if somebody's trying to do this and we can respond to it appropriately.
Thanks for that, Tom. And JP, just to refresh your memory of that question that you lost earlier, it was basically around the fact that a lot of what the patching is doing is more reactive. Are there things that we can that organizations can do to be more proactive? And I think Tom just addressed some of that, but I want to give you the chance to run with that. And if there's other things you feel that organizations can be doing.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian. Sorry about that. So, yeah, it started with having a well-defined process. Right. It's some cases you need to be reactive because of the nature of the of security. SAP adopted second Tuesday of every month to release the patches the same way Microsoft does and many other vendors do. Like they adopted this standard because it's working. It's everyone expects that second Tuesday and they dedicate resources to react to that. So you don't know what you don't know. So you don't know how many patches are going to come or what is the impact of those patches or the vulnerabilities, but you at least you know when they are coming so you can prepare a little bit more. But also you need to have that definition of, hey, I should expect this. What happens if something like this happens? If there's a hot news or a high criticality, what happens if this is a vulnerability that is being exploited? So it starts by having a process defined. Now, you still need to wait and react in some cases, but you react according to the process that was defined.
Thank you, JP. Tom, a moment ago, you mentioned 72 hours.
Yes.
It's a very interesting time frame that I think is a time frame that's on a lot of senior IT leaders' minds lately. I'm sure you have an idea of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're talking about legislative requirements for notification of breach, right? The 72 hours thing came out of an exercise that was conducted. So the way you detect these threat actors is you put honeypot systems out there, which are exactly what they sound like. They're there to attract flies. So you put them on the internet with all of these vulnerabilities and you see who's attacking them and what techniques they're using. And Anapsys, about 2 years ago now, ran a huge honeypot network on the internet and gathered a load of data about what these attackers are doing. And we saw that was the window. You know, within 72 hours, there were automated scripts on the internet that were going out and just pinging basically SAP servers and saying, what version are you on? Do you carry this vulnerability? Okay, let me come in. So that 72-hour window is borne out by evidence. It does, you're absolutely right, have the parallel in legislation. So the SEC and FTC have recently published guidelines for all publicly listed companies that they have to notify when they identify a breach. They have to notify the regulators and customers and have internal communications that go out within a 72 to 4 day window, depending on which of the regulation line items it is, which doesn't give you long to react. And it's worth bearing in mind that you might not know for a couple of hundred days that a breach occurred. or when the breach first occurred. Because the way that these threat actors work is they get into the system, they sniff around, they start to gather data, and then they have an execution window where they're going to commit that ransomware attack or take your data and post it to the dark web or whatever they want to do with it. But the second that you notice that they've hit the execution window, the clock starts ticking, and then you start hitting regulatory fines. And that's, it's kind of scary if you're a CFO or a compliance officer on the company side, because fines are never good. Negative publicity is never good. From our point of view on like the blue team side, it can be helpful, because instead of somebody saying, what is the cost of implementing solutions for cybersecurity for SAP, they start saying, what's the cost of not implementing them? Because $100,000 on a solution that is going to allow you to do this virtual patching we're just talking about sounds like a lot of money. But when it's stacked up against a fine that might be $100,000 a day for every day you're non-compliant, it suddenly makes pretty good sense to protect yourself against that compliance risk.
So my next question was going to be, is it even possible to comply with that 72-hour window? But I know that your standard consulting answer, Tom, is going to be, it depends. So let me reframe the question, actually, JP, to you. What can organizations do to better comply with the 72-hour window?
Well, it starts by having the right visibility. It starts by being able to react on time. So you cannot control when you're going to be hit. You can try to prevent as much as possible by basic hygiene, by implementing controls. But if you have the right visibility, that's when you can start analyzing and doing and implementing incident response and really react. So I think it's definitely challenging to comply with those tight regulations, especially in large environments where you have hundreds of applications, thousands of servers. But it all starts by having the right visibility. If you are able to identify when things are happening, that's when you can react. And the more real time you can be, the better.
Yeah, so in cybersecurity terms, we tend to talk about five pillars of, they're actually called the NIST pillars, N-I-S-T. But it starts with identify, know what your vulnerabilities, what your estate looks like. You then build protections. That's the cyber hygiene that JP is talking about. That's your roles and authorizations, your configuration of your systems, and your patching to protect against those vulnerabilities being exploited. The next pillar is detect. What if those protections fail? Can we see when that happens? The next pillar is respond. So if those protections fail, what mechanisms do we have to actually address that breach? And then you have recover. So that's if the worst happens, have we got the right backups to be able to, you know, reinstate all of our business processes on these solutions? So if you are an application owner or a CFO, COO, or any of the above listening to this, and you start to use those terms with your information security organization, they'll understand what you mean. And they'll often have scores against those pillars. So they'll say, we do really well on identify. We know exactly what our estates look like. We know what the vulnerabilities are, but we've got a bit of a gap in detect for SAP. And that's where you know what you can implement. And if you take it into the OSP sort of language, you'd be talking about assess to identify where your vulnerabilities sit. You'd be talking about defend and control to keep those systems secure. So they align to those sort of mechanisms.
All right. Well, thank you for that, both gentlemen. We're about out of time for this podcast today. So I firstly want to thank Onapsis for their partnership in hosting this podcast. I certainly want to thank you, Tom and JP, for sharing your expertise and also entertaining some of my stupid questions. You know, my take is, look, the world of vulnerabilities in SAP environments is very complex and deep, as you said, JP. Hopefully the audience has enjoyed the opportunity for me to attempt to dummy it down and simplify it a little bit. JP, Tom, if you were to leave our audience with one final thought or takeaway from this podcast, what would it be?
I can start. So I think the key to addressing this problem starts by being purposeful about it, right? Like having the intent to address this and not wait for, hey, like my organization, the existing process of my organization will cover this, because the reality is that there are gaps, and most likely if you are not purposeful about addressing security for SAP applications, cybersecurity for SAP applications, you're probably not doing it. So it starts by really understanding, and then there are steps like identifying your assets, identifying your vulnerabilities, putting the controls in place, integrating with vulnerability management, with continuous monitoring, incident response. There are different layers of maturity that you can navigate, but it starts by saying, yes, this is critical for us, our organization. If someone is able to stop our SAP applications, this would mean X to us, which that X in most cases is mind blowing. So it makes no sense to not do it. So I think that would be probably my key takeaways: be purposeful about it.
Yeah. My sort of language on that would be base it on the risk, and you already know that your SAP systems, if they're impacted, carry a huge risk to your organization. And knowing that, treat it with the priority that it deserves. As JP said, be purposeful, but also collaborate. You know, there's a number of stakeholders who have skin in this game now. It's not just an IP problem. Everybody needs to come together and say, we've got to allocate this the right funding, the right level of priority, and the right working groups, so that we all understand what our status is. We can identify any gaps in our control procedures and address those gaps.
You heard it. Be purposeful and base it on the risk. Thank you very much, JP and Tom. To all of our listeners, be on the lookout for potentially more of these joint sessions to follow from Anapsys and Turnkey Consulting. And if you happen to see us at a conference, be sure to stop by and say hi. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.